Once again, thank you, Andrew, for helping out up here, and I know Dick appreciates it very much, too. Amen. Our scripture reading today is in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn there, if you would, please. Just a reminder, the song of the month is on a sheet of paper. Everybody that was here the first Sunday got one, but we still have some extras back here on this little table by the computer. If you don't have one, pick one up on your way out, and then you'll have it. We'll still be singing it yet next Sunday, so that's where that came from and where the source is. Romans chapter 12, and we would like to look at the first 9 verses. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. I trust the Lord will add his blessing to his word in each of our hearts. Let's remain standing for prayer, shall we? Father, we do want to thank you and praise you for the chance that's ours to be here today. We are so thankful, Lord, for your working. We're thankful, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for the privilege of serving you, and we thank you, Lord, for your will for our lives. And as even we as a church family, we have become a family. We marvel, Lord, at your working to really even have our ministry continue here these 40 years. No one could have ever envisioned something like that 40 years ago. We thank you and we praise you, Father, for your grace, your goodness. We thank you for this church family. We pray that you would just continue to work in our hearts. That's been a prayer of ours for well over 5 years, that in our hearts you can do the work that you want to do and can do with willing hearts, so that we might have a ministry here that could truly bring glory and honor to you. You know, Lord, how our hearts are heavy as we wish that we could see more here in attendance week after week. You know how we are praying for young families that would have a desire to worship as we worship and serve here, not each other, but serve the Lord here, and to see numbers grow. That's our desire, Lord, but we leave that with you, and we ask the answer to that prayer according to your will. We pray, Lord, for those of our congregation this morning that sickness or other physical issues have kept them away and they have not been able to come. We pray that you would restore their bodies according to your will, raise them back up once again. We pray, Lord, that you would be glorified as our service continues. May what is said and done truly please and honor you. And may we be impressed with the message that the Holy Spirit would impress upon our hearts. Fill me with your Spirit, Lord. Speak through me what ought to be spoken. Silence my lips from saying what ought not to be said. And we'll just thank you and praise you. And Lord, even in closing, I just think of the miracle that's here today. We've already recognized her thank you letter, but Lord, you get all the glory for what has been done to raise Cindy off of that hospital bed, able to be walking in this morning. There is no other explanation, Lord. We saw a miracle, and we give you the glory for it. In your name we pray, amen. And you may be seated. And Cindy is a miracle. I know her parents have known that all these years of her life, but I sat in that emergency waiting room with Benny and Ernestine and my wife, and we listened to those professionals come in there telling us that her heart had already stopped 6 times. What should we do? With her heart stopping 6 times, there is a good chance that it has done brain damage. And only 1 out of 5 survives. And if she does, most likely, brain damage has already occurred. Tell us what we do. And we committed Cindy to the Lord. And we ask the Lord for His will to be done. And we thank the Lord knowing that God is able to do abundantly above that which we could ever ask or think. And God answered that prayer. Her heart never once stopped again. And she's been on the way up ever since. A couple of times she was 2 steps forward and 3 steps back, but there has always been the realization that, Cindy, it's not your time yet. God has still more things for you to do. And we rejoice with you as your church family. And we praise our Heavenly Father for what He has done. We serve a great God. Amen. And you're dismissed, right? Okay. We could just about go home, couldn't we? I mean, my word. Those professionals care. They did not present a pretty picture. They did not give Benny and Ernestine much to go on that night. But they didn't know our God and what our God can do. Well, how many times we hear messages on Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. It's a very familiar portion of Scripture. And much of the emphasis is on the reasonable service that we owe God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But have you ever asked yourself, why did Paul say that was reasonable? Why did he include that little phrase in there? What makes it reasonable? Well, if you look in that first verse, there is a word that says what? I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And remember the little phrase that we've said numerous times over the years. When you find the word therefore, you need to stop and ask yourself, what's it therefore? Obviously, it has some connection with something that he has previously said. He's coming to a conclusion. He's summing something up on the basis of what's been said. So, with that in mind, we back up even one verse to the last verse of chapter 11 when it talks about how important God is to us. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen. I beseech you therefore, brethren. When we stop and realize who God is and what he has done for us, the Liberty Study Bible really has suggested the outline that I'm going to be using today, or in recent years it's been republished as the Nelson Study Bible. So the three points that I suggest, you find that in the footnotes if you've got that, and we'll just build on that outline. But there are three truths connected to these all things that we see here. Of him, verse 36 of 11, through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. So, what connection is there to the all things? Let's notice, first of all, Paul made reference to the source of all things. The source of all things, it's what? In verse 36, why Paul says the source is of him. Of him. Let me ask you, what do you have that you have not received from God? Who can tell me something you have not received from God? Well, it's all of him. We're going to do a lot of searching around today, so if you're doing it the mechanical way, or electronical way, I guess is the better word, get your fingers ready to start poking in references. For the rest of us, flip the pages. I'm not necessarily going to give you time. I'll announce it, and when I find it, I'll read it, whether you've caught up to speed or not. But it is one of those that we're going to be looking at a lot of references. On this first point, the source of all things, it's of him. The first one I make reference to is in James chapter 1, verse 17. And it says, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, Paul said this, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We've told you before, but if you would look at that word consist in a Bible dictionary or a lexicon, you're going to discover that that little word consist means sticks together. By him, all things consist. Everything sticks together. You say, no, it's not. It's by atoms. Who created the atoms? Who keeps everything together? It's God. By him, everything sticks together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You see, he keeps it all together, and rightly he ought to have preeminence and recognition of that. In Hebrews 1, 2, and 3, it talks about how that these last days God spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express of image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The job was done. He did it all, and everything we owe to him. In John's gospel, that first chapter, the opening few verses of John 1, verse 3, concerning the fact that in the beginning was the Word, capital W, that means we're talking about an individual person. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Whoever this Word is, he's right there with God. He is God. Look at verse 3. All things were what? Made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Don't tell me that you don't need God. Don't tell me that God has had absolutely no impact or effect upon your life, whether a person recognizes it or not. All things were made by him, and if it weren't for him, we would have what? We wouldn't even be. We wouldn't even be, much less have anything, if it weren't for God. He's the source. We move on. Acts 17. Acts 17. Listen to, well, if you like to take notes, just jot down verses 24 through 28. But we're not going to read all of those. I'm going to read 26 and 27 and part of 28. It tells us how that in 24 and 25, what he's done. And in verse 26, he has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. He has made of one blood all nations. Now, I know there's different types of blood, but you know, human blood is different than pig blood and different than chicken blood. We've got human. We find that God created, and we find that he put in us life. He breathed into us the breath of life. All nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and he's determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Now get this, the beginning of verse 28. What does God mean to me? In him we live and move and have our being. Don't say, I don't need God. In him we live and move and have our being. If it weren't for God, we would have nothing. We would not have life. We're not the result of some big bang and some little squiggly thing in some slime pit that squiggled out and grew legs and stood upright, and millions and billions of years later, here we are. No, in the beginning, God did what? He created. And he said, let there be, and it was. And he took the dust of the ground, and he formed and created man. And then he took a rib of man, put him to sleep, and he formed woman and brought the woman to the man. I feel sorry for these people who have based their faith on the evolutionary lies. When through faith we understand, Hebrews 11 tells us, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? The Word of God. That's how everything came to be. So, as we think about a reasonable service, as our text in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. What makes it reasonable? The therefore. The fact that the source of everything we have in chapter 11, verse 36, it is of him. Let me give you just a couple more, and you, boy, we could have spent the whole message time this morning on point one, but we don't dare do that. In Isaiah 42, look at verse 5. Thus saith God the Lord, that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, not evolution, but God that did this, and that giveth breath unto the people upon it and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the peoples and for a light to the Gentiles, and speaking to the nation of Israel and their specific place and purpose. But look at what God has done in that fifth verse. And then we say, I don't owe God anything. God's never done anything for me. Oh, yes, he has. Daniel 5, 23. Daniel 5, 23. It tells us this. When Belshazzar was praising the gods of silver and gold, using the temple vessels that the Babylonians had stolen from the temple of Jerusalem and carried them away to Babylon, he was having this drunken feast, using those consecrated cups, drinking, praising their gods. And we find that that's when suddenly there was a man's hand appeared and started writing words on the wall. And it tells us that old King Belshazzar's knees were banging up against each other. He was so full of fear. And somebody said, you need to call Daniel in here. He can translate what these words mean. He's a man of God. In verse 23, Daniel said, thou hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine in them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron, wood and stone, which see not nor hear nor know. But the last phrase, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all your ways, hast thou not glorified? Well, I think we could go on and on. But as we stop and think about this first point, the all things that Paul wrote of in Romans chapter 11, in verse 36, when he said, of him, through him, to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Sounds pretty reasonable, that first verse of chapter 12, verse 1, that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice, that we should say, here, God, I give you who and all I am, and anything that I can do that you can use for your glory. That just seems the most reasonable thing I could do. But we move on. In that 36th verse of chapter 11, the second thing, though, is we see in that 36th verse, not only are things of him as the source, but they are through him as the channel. They are through him as the channel of everything. And that's what Paul says, of him and through him are all things. Once again, we're going to just take a journey through Scripture and stop from place to place. For instance, Psalm 124, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is where? In the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, the channel. Through him we have all these things. John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter 15, verse 5 tells us this. Just the last part of that verse. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Without him, we can do nothing of spiritual worth. Nothing that is going to bring glory to the Lord. Forget the spirituality angle of it. Without him, we would not even have life. And people say, I'm not concerned about God. He doesn't mean anything to me. I don't feel like I owe him anything. The lips of a fool. The lips of a fool. Because he's the source of everything, and he is the channel through which we are able to do any and everything. Paul, in one of his most oft-quoted portions in Philippians 4:13, I can do what? All things through Christ. There's the channel. All things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And that's what he's teaching us here in our text. It's through him that we're doing all things. 1 Timothy 1:12. Paul said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And boy, could that ever be my testimony on this 40th anniversary. It's God that did it. It's not me. There's nothing special about me. I get up in the morning and I shove my right foot down in my jeans first, just like you do. You ever just notice the next time when you put your jeans on? You put your right foot in there first. I'm just like you. Everybody. But God, it's through God that we are what we are. When we think we can't go on, he gives us strength. When we come to that intersection and we say, I'm at this intersection and I'm either going to have to go this way or I'm going to have to go, and I can't do either thing. Yes, we can. And one of them, God, it's God's will for our life. And when God brings, I have a little saying on my bookshelf, when God brings you to it, he will bring you through it. And when God brings things our way and we say, this is too hard, it is too hard for us. And our Heavenly Father is saying, child, I'm here. I'm here. I'm waiting. All you have to do is just ask. All you have to do is just turn it over to me. I'll get you through it. I'm not going to shove you into something. I'll be going through it with you. We can do it through the strength that he gives us. Ephesians 3:16. Paul said this. Paul, this is a part of his prayer, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's how we can face the issues of life. We're strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner being. Now, that sounds great, but the good news and the true news is, you can't say that to the man on the street, because it's only a born-again believer who has the Spirit within. And the Holy Spirit who indwells us is there to strengthen us. And I know everyone could say, amen, I have seen it happen. I know I've gone through things that it was only through His Spirit strengthening to get through them. And I know you know that too. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, Paul said, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish," is dying. Though our outward man, it's not what it used to be. I watch as some come hobbling in, some come limping in. Some, like Emily Field, came in skipping this morning because it was her birthday. You know, when you're as young as she is, she can do that. But be sure to tell her happy birthday, and don't forget to tell Ernestine also, because it's their birthdays today. You make sure they know that you know. We won't embarrass anybody, but people ought to know. But our bodies are getting older. Paul said, though our outward man perish, that's a pretty in-your-face way to describe what's happening to us, isn't it? We're perishing. Duh, we like to think we're going to kind of hang in there forever. We all think we're going to make it to 95 like Jonathan. But truth is, most of us won't. Jonathan is a rare breed. Most people don't make it that long. But the truth is, we're perishing. And Paul said, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is what? It is renewed annually. What's your Bible say? Day by day. Every day God has for us the strength we need for that day, so that through Him we can do all things and face all things. Boy, when you think of this second point, Romans 12, 1 and 2, sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? When everything we have, He's the source of it, and to enable us to get through it, He is the channel. Sounds pretty reasonable to me. Thirdly, we go back to our text in Romans 11, verse 36, when he says, of him, through him, and there's one other one. It is the goal of all things is to be to him. To him ought to be the goal, the reason, or purpose of what we do in our lives. Why do we do what we do? Well, I want to do it to him. I want to do it to his glory. A very familiar verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Remember what Paul wrote? He said, whether therefore you what? Eat or drink, or whatsoever you do it what? For yourself? We're to do it for the glory of God, and that's what Romans 11, 36 is teaching us. Of Him, through Him, to Him are all things. Ephesians 6. In Ephesians 6, Paul tells us here, and he makes reference to some individuals and different tasks and obligations they had, but he speaks of a principle that we can all apply. Whether you find yourself as a servant or not, we ought to be serving our Lord. We ought to be serving one another. But here he was talking to those who were household servants. But let the truth speak to us. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling. Here's where we really want to perk up our ears. In singleness or sincerity of your heart as what? As unto Christ. Whatever I'm doing, whatever task you find yourself doing, do you ever just tell yourself, do you ever remind yourself as you get up to go to work in the morning, Lord, thank you that you've given me the strength and the ability, and I want what I do today to count for you and glorify you. Doesn't matter what my boss thinks. As long as you're pleased, then I will have accomplished. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart as unto God. That's what our goal ought to be. What? To Him. Colossians 3:23-24. Paul said, and whatsoever you do, do it how? Half-heartedly? Is that what your Bible says? Do it heartedly, as to the Lord and not unto men. Why? Knowing that of the Lord, you're going to receive the reward of the inheritance. You mean it's okay to think about the hereafter and how God might reward for faithful service? You bet your bottom dollar it is. Paul instructs us that's what we're supposed to be thinking about. Sadly, many of us never get beyond the here and now. All we can think about is just, what's this mean to me now? And Paul said, no, whatever you do it. Put your heart into it, knowing that the day is coming, verse 25, when you're going to receive a reward. Why? Because you serve the Lord Christ. Well, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world. Don't worry about what the world thinks, what the world's standards are, what is acceptable. You just think about the source of everything you have. It's of Him. And how you're able to do everything, the channel, it's through Him. And why you have life, so that it can be to Him and for His glory. So don't worry about the world. Instead of being conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Have you ever realized how much you owe God? What are you doing with your life? Perhaps today, there may be some that would say, you know, in all honesty, I haven't been giving God the reasonable service that I owe Him, and I'd like today to be a day of decision. I'd like to perhaps rededicate myself to Him. I want my life to count for Him. That only makes sense. Paul calls it our reasonable service. Is there anyone that would want to do that as we bring our service to a close? Shall we pray? Lord, it's humbling to realize what we owe you and how dependent we are upon you. Many times we fail to be honest. Many times we try to take credit for things ourselves. We have nothing we can take credit for except the messes we get ourselves into. We've looked at a very familiar portion of Scripture this morning, and we've asked that your Spirit be our teacher. And I pray, Lord, if your Spirit has been not only teacher but instructor, and one that has impressed upon someone's heart, you know your heart's not right with God. You know things need to change. Do it today. Don't wait. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Oh, Lord, we thank you for even that one that you might have spoken that message to. Pray that you would be glorified in our lives as we go from this place. May we change for your glory and honor through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives with you. In your name we pray. Amen.